When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Sarah Kennedy, the wedding expert. She has her own business, The Isle. She has her book, her downloads, formerly the Irish Wedding Blog, is here to give us all the new trends of how to be how to get the top tips. You're most welcome, Sarah.
Thank you for having me, Ivan.
So tell me first of all, what's different in 2025 to weddings of 2015?
Okay, well, there's been a fundamental shift because what we had, we went through COVID and we got to understand that the kind of the typical way of having a wedding isn't always, you know, necessary. You can do it in a few different ways. So what we're seeing coming into 2025 is a lot more escalation of people really owning their own wedding and being very personable about their wedding. You know, they're not always following the typical flow. Don't get me wrong, there's still a mass that will do that. But what you're seeing is one of the biggest trends I'm seeing is this big push on personalization around a wedding. So when we're talking about personalization, this is where people are branding up their own weddings. So if you think of all the small details that happen at a wedding, you've got the initials of the couples with the date, and all of that's coming through from signage from when you walk through the door, right through to, you know, how your menus are presented. And this is a big industry in stationery in its own. And this would be something probably couples weren't spending a huge amount of effort and money on before, but they're spending a huge amount of money on this now. So this is one of those big things that are taking, I suppose, this by storm. And this is what you're being served on Instagram and Pinterest quite a lot. And it's really catching a lot of couples' eyes. So they want to go down that route. But one of the big things, if we go back to 25, you know, there was still a day two of a wedding, right? Mm. And this is probably the biggest fundamental shift, but it was very fairly optional. Not every couple did it. Whereas now there seems to be that sort of expectation that there is definitely going to be a day two of a wedding. So what you're having is this, you know, pre-rehearsal, you're having the day of the wedding, and then you're having the day two. And that seems to be a little bit more compulsory. It's not compulsory by any means, but couples seem to assume that they have to have this 3-day, you know, splurge for their day. And as well, a lot of couples really want to enjoy that and embrace it. And for a lot of the time, the day before and the day of a wedding, couples don't really get to let their hair down. So the day two is a really nice way to be able to do that. But that obviously has implications on guests who are having to take out, you know, 2 to 3 days. But that is a huge, huge trend. And what we're seeing a lot of, particularly over the last 2 years, with such an uptick in people wanting dates that they may not be able to get churches or the registry office for, what you're finding is this duo wedding. So this is where a couple will go into the city. They'll go and they'll go to the registrar and they'll have this very chic city, you know, legal ceremony with, you know, their witnesses and maybe their close family. And then they will go either abroad or they will have their wedding as more of a blessing or, a lighter ceremony in a different location. So they're getting 2 wedding days out of it. And that means 2 different styles. So again, this is really, you know, a really high bubbling trend.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was at a nephew's wedding and they brought us all down to Bantry, which was lovely, but none of us were from Bantry. And they had the night before, mm-hmm, drinks in a local bar. They had the full wedding, which was fantastic, a bespoke island venue.
Gorgeous.
And then the next day, another place. I mean, like, you'd nearly need to book a holiday for it.
I
mean,
like,
is it not an outrage in self-indulgence? Like, I got married 40 years ago in next December and basically had a bath in the morning, went up, got married, the shortest day of the year, the 21st, and we cleared off at about 11:30 to go stay in the Burlow or something like that. And they could enjoy themselves. Bang, plish, bash, bosh, done. No more about it. But this idea that you have to spend 50 grand on a wedding and then you wonder why you've no money for a deposit for a house.
Well, look, you know, this is the way the shift has changed. And I am seeing a lot of couples that are taking a little bit more control and being a lot more realistic about their budget. And I'm talking to venues all the time because I work with a lot of venues in the background. And some venues are telling me our midweek dates have actually picked up quicker than some of our weekend dates because people are looking for that extra bit of value in the marketplace as well. But yeah,
again,
look,
that doesn't suit people going to
a wedding if they take
a day off
but
work.
They're thinking about
the
budget.
Yeah.
Look, and do you know what? I worked as a wedding coordinator for years and I can tell you this. if whether you have a wedding on a Tuesday or a Saturday, the same amount of number of guests will turn up. And I see that with my own eyes. But do you know what? I think it's for many couples, and I've asked this question, why has this happened? Why is there, you know, this 3-day event? And I think for a lot of couples, they're saying, well, actually, we are spending a lot of money on it and we want to get the most out of it and we want to see everybody. And I think they really want the party.
But talking to the same people for 3 nights...
Well,
you
see, you know,
it's a bit of a problem.
Well, you see,
Auntie Mary, you get sick of the sight of her.
Well, Auntie Mary isn't at every single sitting. You have to remember that. So you've got your night before, which is really your parents and your bridal party. The day of a wedding is an ambush. You are trying to get around potentially 160 people to talk to them on a one-to-one basis.
Is that the average size of
you're talking about anything from 120 to 160 is kind of in around that.
Okay.
And so the couple don't actually even get to talk sometimes to themselves. So the day two is like maybe there might be 20, 30 people at it. They chill out, let their hair down, and they actually can actually just enjoy, you know. So that's the other side of it.
Let's run through some of the do's and don'ts. First of all, gifting. The idea that you'd send a toaster, it's all now cash, is it?
It's cash is king. Look, I run this poll every year. 90% of couples have a preference, and people who are giving money have a preference to give cash for a wedding.
And what's the average year? What are you expected to give?
So the average is between 200 to 250 for a couple. That's what's come back on the poll that I've ran. Now, if people are in the bridal party, that has spiked a little bit higher. That's going anything from kind of the 300 upwards, which, you know, by the way, this is not a rule book. This is just what people are telling me. And then there's others who might, you know, say, well, there's a volume I actually saw this year come in where it kind of came back to the 150 per couple mark, which I hadn't seen for about 2 or 3 years. So kind of last year, you would have seen an awful lot of people saying the 250 mark, but that's starting to calm down a little bit. A
couple of things that are always kind of perennial chestnuts. Kids or no kids?
It depends on the couple. So a lot of couples these days have their own kids. So, you know, times have changed. I think this is really down to how a couple foresee their day to be. So what I would say is I had a preference for not having kids at my own wedding because I just wanted to be able to let the hair down. And if you're going to bring kids, you really need to have you can't just let them just turn up and be. You need to make sure you've got the provisions in place. Either you've got nannies, you've got entertainment, things for them to do. So unless you're willing to go down that track, then don't. But there are a lot of people who are really stuck and can't attend your wedding because they may not be able to bring their kids if their kids haven't been invited. So that's the moral dilemma that you need to
grapple
with.
But sometimes, you know, kids under 4 are squawking and making noise and making, you know, a misery for everyone. And a no kids rule makes sense.
Well, look, kids are kids. How are they? You know, it's not their fault. This really, like, if you've got a couple who already have kids, they are going to be categorically grand with kids running around and shouting. I was at a gorgeous wedding only during the summer where my friends have 3 kids. Okay. And of course, it was chaos. It was brilliant. But then if I go back to myself 10 years ago when I got married, no way in hell was I going to have that level of chaos.
OK. Plus ones. Yes or no?
No. I just think, you know, don't give out. You don't be meeting people for the first time at the door of your wedding. So, you know, if people are bringing plus one, they're probably bringing them for the sake of it.
Well, no, but is there a rule if they're engaged? Is it a plus one?
Oh, yes, of course. It's random plus ones where you're handing out somebody who may not be with somebody or maybe a very short period of time and then you only get to meet them for the first time. But of course, if people are in full couples and you know them, of course, you would do that.
Foreign weddings. This used to be the great escapism, which put a huge cost burden on people who had to travel to Italy or whatever. Are they dying out?
No. They're increasing. We're seeing a lot more Irish couples, and that's being spurred by, you saw a lot of the rugby players over the summer, a lot of influencers are getting married abroad, and that's the sort of look and feel they're going for. But again, you've got that dilemma. While some couples want to go abroad, it's not always viable because they want certain people there that may not be able to travel. But we are seeing a huge uptick in couples travelling abroad.
Now, Ivan, it's a whole industry promoted by these wedding Instagrammers and coordinators. Young people are brainwashed by you. Does the cap fit you there?
Is that I wouldn't say that. I generally would take quite a sensible. There's always inspiration and things that are really nice and people love to see that. But I would have a very sensible hat on. So like I would have very, very clear ethos on shopping around, finding value in the market and pushing your suppliers to get good value as well. So no, I don't always agree with that. I think the parameters, couples can in the very early stages, they can lose the run of themselves. So I would always say, you know, you have to rein that in and really think about, you know, your long-term future. And to your point, are you saving for a house? Do you want to put that amount of money into one day? Or is there a longer term at play here? So
I've heard it all now. This is a musician. We played at a wedding on New Year's Eve. The couple had stick-on tattoos with their names and a love heart. Most guests had them on their arms, neck and face even, very personalised and different. What do you think of that?
But that's what I'm saying. That's the big trend around personalisation. Couples are really going hell for leather on this.
Like the reality is, right? I'm sorry for all you guys that are loved up here. 40% of marriages done today will break up, right?
No.
Where I'm going with this, marriage is the only legally binding agreement entered into without the help of a solicitor. Why is this? So my question is this, because I'm in my 60s now and I meet fellas of my age group in their 50s and they think they're a young God's gift Adonis at 20 years of age and they're meeting young ones again and getting married again. Is there a difference between a wedding second time around where they're kind of world weary or not?
No, do you know what? I think when it comes to the second time round, you tend to see that the weddings are a lot more intimate. They're smaller numbers. They're a little bit more realistic. You know, you're seeing, like I would see an awful lot of them, you know, Dublin City Centre, kind of, you know, small restaurants.
Registry office will do
Registry
fine.
Registry office, you are seeing that.
A few pints afterwards.
But then there's others who are saying, do you know what? I never got the wedding I wanted the first time round. And saying, oh, sure, look, let's go mad. And we didn't have the money at the time. And people get carried away as well with their wedding. But as a total, I am seeing second time weddings would generally take a little bit more lean.
Bit more
approach.
Cop on. Okay, finally, The Isle, your business. Tell us how people can get in touch with you.
So look, there's a website there, The Isle by Sarah Kennedy, and that's across all socials. They can find me there. And look, I'm always there to help. If people have questions, just drop me a message and I'll do my best to help you.
All right, that's Sarah Kennedy, the wedding expert, The Isle, giving us all the latest extravagant and personalised twists for your big day. Good luck.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.